Coming up this week on Sporting Journal Radio.
We remember the YouTube video last fall that blew up in central North Dakota, and we don't want that to happen again.
The Rack had a green score of 169 and 3/8.
This is one that I already missed. I saw where he landed.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Alclair Outdoor Studios.
Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore. This is Sporting Journal Radio.
That's right. Welcome to the show. Man, it is the best time of year. If you ask me, that late October, early November timeframe, it's good for waterfowl where we're at. It's good for deer hunting. It's good for pheasant hunting. It's good, from what I'm hearing, it's good for grouse hunting right now too. So, and it's good for fishing. So we got a lot to get to. We're going to talk fishing and hunting around the region coming up this week. Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department is going to join us to talk about what you should keep in mind when you're out there, whether you're deer hunting, pheasant hunting, whatever. Just some things to keep in mind for landowner relations and, during the harvest, what you should do and what you should be mindful of. We'll also talk to Joe Henry. We'll talk about fishing up a lake of the woods, what's a fishing report right now, and even dig into hunting a little bit. In fact, it was a pretty big deer got shot up there, Dan.
Yeah, it was a giant. It's a giant. That's all I'll say. Stick to the end of the show to watch it or to see it.
That's right. We'll show you what it is and tell you the story about it coming up later in the show. First, Dan, who is this week's show brought to us by?
Live Target, Match Hatch at LiveTargetLures.com. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital. Plan a trip for this winter at LakeOfTheWoodsMN.com. Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Book a trip to Devil's Lake. Learn more at HaybaleHeights.com. Otter Tail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter at OtterTailLakesCountry.com. And Prairie Sportsman, the new season starts in January, but you can watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel.
We filmed a really cool show for Prairie Sportsman recently. We talked a little bit about it last week on the show. We'll give you a little sneak peek of that coming up later in the show. And don't forget, you can watch Prairie Sportsman on YouTube, like Dan said, and then there's a couple other YouTube channels you should check out, including our new one, Fish Hunt Forever. We got a brand new video that we posted up there recently from our trip up to Saskatchewan. Looks like this.
There is a horse in the decoy stand.
Nice!
That was so much fun, and say what you want about having a bunch of guys in the spread stacking up birds. You know, so many times when you get on I got a good field lined up. Let's get as many guys as possible. Let's just stack them up. I don't care. I mean, I like hunting with my friends, don't get me wrong, but Dan, just you and I in the blind, and unfortunately David went home the day before we had this hunt up there in Saskatchewan, but just having a small group like that. I mean, yeah, we could have put up a big stack of birds, although we put up a decent stack for a two-man shoot. That hunt,
it was a more intimate experience with the birds, as weird as that sounds when it's just a two-man hunt.
Yeah, that did sound kind of weird.
Well, get your mind out of the gutter.
You're the one that started it.
I just said what I thought. I didn't say it was an intimate experience with the birds.
It was
with you.
Yeah, that's good. That'd be weird. It was a good time, and sometimes when you got 10 guys in a layout blind, it's just obnoxious. It's chaotic. It's too much. And it's not that much fun. I mean, it's fun getting on a good hunt, but having the smaller groups of snows work like they did, and we shot pretty well. We knocked down quite a few birds. You can watch that video right now on the Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel. Check it out. Like it, subscribe, share it with your buddies. We appreciate it. And while you're on there, our friend Thomas Hoke, Hoke Outdoors, you see him a lot with Corey Loeffler and the DRC Call Company, and then he's got his own YouTube channel, Hoke Outdoors, does pretty well on there. A lot of hunting vlogs, does a lot of hunting out of kayaks. Well, he came down last year and did some pheasant hunting, first time ever, and had a pretty good time. And you can watch that video that he just recently put out here last week right now on the Hoke Outdoors YouTube channel. He never pheasant hunted before, and we put him on a pretty good one. So check that out while you're there. Of course, hopefully you're watching this on YouTube. Give us a like and a subscribe and a share on the Sporting Journal Radio YouTube channel as well. And for you pheasant hunters, deer hunters, even waterfowl hunters, who are carefully watching the crops, if they're coming out, if they're not coming out. We've had a little bit of rain that slowed things down here and there, depending on where you were at. Definitely a lot of corn coming off this week, and we've watched all the fields. It's like once it finally started and the farmers got in there, they really got after it, and we watched a lot of corn disappear. So in southern Minnesota, southwestern Minnesota, a lot of the crops have been finally coming out. So if you've been pheasant hunting, it's been a little frustrating here and there. But as this corn comes off too, we're seeing a lot more buck activity. The deers are getting pushed around. The deer are getting pushed around a little bit. So we've seen some more activity on trail cameras, checking scrapes. The rut, I think, is starting to slowly creep in a little bit, but I think most of it is the deer just getting pushed around by combines. And so we're getting pretty excited about that. So if you're planning on bow hunting or deer hunting, I know a lot of kids were out for the youth 4-day weekend over MEA in Minnesota, and some nice deer were shot. In fact, that one that we're going to talk about later in the show, we'll show you that picture coming up in just a little bit. And for you pheasant hunters, pheasant lovers that also work in the media, or even if you don't, you're looking for a way to get into the outdoor industry, Pheasants Forever is a job opening right now. You can see it on the outdoorfeed.org. Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, a media relations specialist. You'll be working with a friend over there, Jared Wicklin. The media relations specialist will assist the director of communications to work with media for Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. See the whole job listing right now at theoutdoorfeed.org. If you want to work in the outdoor industry, work for an organization, conservation organization like Pheasants Forever. And I'm wondering if I should just get into the job side of pheasant hunting. This, like, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a great shot. I'm okay. I was feeling pretty confident. In fact, Dan, I was telling you this off the air. I feel like anytime I get cocky about something, God has a way of humbling me a little bit. And he did that. Like last week we were talking about cooking pheasant. I got this new air fryer and I was going to cook up some pheasant and I didn't. I'm like, oh, I'll shoot some more. Ah, piece of cake. And he looked at me and I'm like, oh yeah, I'll shoot some more pheasants. And I went out the other night and I can't even be mad about it. It was a fun hunt. I saw a fair number of birds. I had some really nice close flushes. I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And looking back at this footage, like this bird right here flushed pretty close to me. It was pretty neat. And this is one that I already missed. I saw where he landed and I chased him down and went and flushed him again. And both times I shot right over the top of him. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see the video there. I kind of shot behind him anyway. And it looks like the last two shots I was shooting behind him, but I shot over him all three shots. I shot right over the top. And I don't think the camera was misaligned. If you slow that video down, you look at my shot pattern, it definitely goes over the top of the bird. So the only thing I can think of, Dan, is I wasn't shouldering the gun correctly.
And well, it's pretty easy to do pheasant hunting. You get excited and you rush it.
Yeah. And I've definitely done that, but I missed a bunch of birds that day, and pretty much every clip was kind of like that. Like I was shooting over the top. So I don't know if like my shoulder strap on my vest was bunched up a little bit. It just wasn't seated right. Or if I was just so excited about being out there. I was hunting in a t-shirt. So, you know, maybe having less layers on affected. I don't know.
The worst excuse I think I've ever heard. That's terrible.
I don't know. I remember coming in and I just was in shock that, cause I've hit, and to be fair, I'm shooting a full choke and a couple of those flushes were pretty close. So my pattern is probably the size, you know, of a quarter going by those birds. So if I was just off just a little bit, I wasn't going to hit them. So I don't know. I went back out there the next day to try to fix it. And I did knock one bird down, but I missed two more pretty easy ones. So I don't know, man. It's a weird slump right now in my pheasant hunting experience. But I did cook one pheasant in the air fryer, though. That was pretty good.
Yeah, it's nice to not have them all greasy. You know, like I love frying things in oil and butter and grease as much as the next guy.
Right.
Doctors hate it. It's nice to eat that stuff. We like to eat wild game pretty regularly. It's nice to eat it, not feel like you're going to have a heart attack in 10 years. But and the air fryer's good at that. And it was, I'm sure I didn't do it, but I'm sure it was pretty easy, right?
It was real easy. I mean, I just breaded the, I used like a shake. I've been using the shake and bake coating. I know like Shore Lunch, we do a lot for fish, of course, but the shake and bake, cause I was baking fish, which I've really gotten into quite a bit with shake and bake, with this Parmesan, garlic Parmesan or what, I can't remember what flavor it is. Something, I think it's garlic Parmesan. It's so good. And it's so easy to do in the oven and it's healthier for you. And then I got the air fryer. I'm like, well, I'm going to try this. So I did it that way. And then I did the pheasant in the same stuff. I might add, I think I added some Cajun seasoning to it. But I just coated it like anything else. I chunked it up, made pheasant nuggets, just like a chicken nugget. Here's the thing. People ask me about cooking pheasant all the time. Just treat it like chicken. It may be a little bit drier and you might trim it. Like I might trim the pieces a little bit differently, but just treat it like chicken. So that's what I just coated it like I was making chicken nuggets and put it in the air fryer. And you put it in the air fryer and walk away. Every couple of minutes, you come back and shake it up a little bit and make sure they're not sticking to the bottom. One tip I got was to maybe just, you don't have to put oil in there, but you just spray a little coating of oil on your pieces. And I've got like a canola oil cooking spray. There's different cooking sprays you can get, like a nonstick cooking spray. I just sprayed the pieces just a little bit, and that gets them a little bit crispier. That was a tip I got, and I tried it, and it seemed to work. So try that if you're not. But yeah, I cooked them, I don't know what it was, 15 minutes or something like that. I threw some frozen French fries in there and made some French fries and pheasant nuggets. Turned out pretty good. And the house didn't smell like a pan full of cooking oil. So a little bit healthier alternative for you. So if you're looking for ways to cook pheasant, but still my favorite way to do it is honey pheasant. And if you haven't heard me talk about that yet, go back about a year. I'm sure you'll find it. Otherwise, we'll probably do it.
Listen to every single radio show till you find it.
Yeah.
And like every single one.
Brilliant.
And comment on all of them. It's a little scavenger hunt. Or, you know what, if somebody knows, somebody find it and then comment below and link to it, whatever. We're too lazy to do it. Do it yourselves. Figure it out.
There you go. Make our listeners do all the work for us.
Well, that's the sign of a good show.
How are we doing on time, Dan?
Well, we got a little bit till commercial break.
All right.
Keep going.
Well, we got Doug Lear coming up from North Dakota Game and Fish, and also Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods. We'll get a fishing report here in a little bit from those guys. I want to talk a little bit about Prairie Sportsman because we did a really cool event. We did touch on this last week on the show, but I had the chance to film some veterans pheasant hunting. And Dan, you jumped in a boat mm-hmm. with a vet too. I don't know. Did you talk about that last week at all?
I think so.
Did you?
I don't know. Somebody go and watch last week's show and tell us if we did or not.
I can't remember. Oh, man. When you do 52 of these things a year, sometimes you don't always remember every single minute of every show. But
what?
Amazing stories we heard during this veterans event. Man, what some of these guys went through, you know, and you'll hear them talk about it. They're like, yeah, I got shot down in a helicopter in Vietnam. And the one guy you were with was prisoner of war for 4 years. And he goes, yeah, I was chained to a tree. And, you know, other than that, you know, they took care of my wounds and, you know, I didn't get tortured and, you know, I made it out okay. And I'm like, my gosh, you know, you can't thank these guys enough for doing what they did. Could you imagine? I mean, Dan, you're in your early 20s. Could you imagine, you know, like 5 years ago, graduating high school and getting in a helicopter and going to Vietnam?
Well, it's like Gary said, he talks to students. And I do actually think now I'm having a sense of deja vu. I think we did talk about this last week, but, so picture this, you graduate high school and some people go to college for 4 years. Replace those 4 years at college, you know, freshman to senior year, all 4 years, the whole shebang. Replace that with being a prisoner of war in Vietnam at that same age. Like, you know, most people are in college, you're going to football games, you're partying, you're studying, you're having fun. No, he was a POW for that exact same time from first day of freshman orientation to graduation.
Wow. There's no way I would have had the mental capacity to do that at that age. Like when I was that age, I did not care about anything in the world. I was just living life, doing whatever. I barely have the mental capacity now, but man, to be that age and to go through that. I mean, I guess it kind of forces you to grow up a little bit, getting into a situation like that or joining the service at all. I kind of wish I would have joined the service. Honestly, I probably would have grown up a little bit sooner and maybe made some better decisions in my life as I grew up. But thank you to those that have joined the service, those that are in the service right now. And for all the veterans, you know, I know you got to sit in the boat with Gary, and then I followed around some different vets while we were pheasant hunting, including Roger, who you're going to hear from right now.
I was at Quan Loi at the time when I went into Vietnam, and that was August 12th is when I got wounded. And I've had the shrapnel ever since. I got shrapnel in my back and in my foot that I've been carrying for ever since. But it don't seem to bother a whole lot, so I guess it'll be there until I die.
Now, if you were watching that on YouTube, if you're watching this on YouTube, you saw that clip. If not, go to our YouTube channel. You can see what you just heard, and then you'll be able to watch the full episode coming during the new season of Prairie Sportsman starting in January on Pioneer PBS or on a local PBS station near you. If you're listening to this on the radio, you should have a PBS station near you where you can watch the show. Otherwise, you can watch it on YouTube as well. Going to film another episode this week up in the Lake of the Woods area. From all accounts, Dan, I've been hearing from everybody, grouse hunting, rough grouse hunting is pretty good this year. And we're hoping to get into some grouse up at Lake of the Woods this week.
Yeah, it'll be fun to go stomp the trails a little bit and see what we can find.
When you went to Bemidji, did you do much grouse hunting up there?
Not really. Not having a dog, it's hard to get excited about upland hunting. Hmm. So I focused my efforts other places. But if you saw one, you wanted dinner. You got one.
Yeah, well, I haven't grouse hunted much since the last episode of Prairie Sportsman we filmed around the Brainerd area. We went grouse hunting with Matt Soberg. At the time, he was with Rough Grouse Society, and also Hank Shaw, who we tried to get him to cook up some grouse for us, but we didn't have time to do that. He's actually cooking up at Pine Ridge this fall, I guess, grouse camp. So you can watch that episode of Prairie Sportsman on the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel or prairiesportsman.org. We're also going up layout boat hunting once again. Big surprise. We filmed it for Prairie Sportsman last year with Andy Reeves and Forrest Husett up at the Northwest Angle. We're doing that this weekend. We're pretty jacked about it. So we'll probably have them on the podcast next week to talk about the experience a little bit and talk about grouse hunting next week here on the show. All right, we're going to break. Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department will join us next on Sporting Journal Radio.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand. The number one hunting GPS app just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on the network by demand, or if you're watching this on YouTube, thank you very much, along with Dan Amundson and David Eckhart over there. And once again, our old radio pal, Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department joins us. Doug, how you doing?
I'm not just old, I'm older. I was old last time we talked and just keep getting older and older. Now I don't just have the glasses. Now I have to put the glasses up and put glasses down. But as long as I keep shaving my head and my face, I ain't gray like you, so I'm doing pretty good.
I know, and it's just like I'm just watching the gray expand, and it just drives me crazy. And You know, it is what it is. It's like you're not getting any younger. There's nothing you can do about it. So why fight it, right?
Stop watching. Are you
getting any wiser, though?
No. I thought that was supposed to happen. It's not. But
okay.
You know, and that's why I always just live every day to the best I can and do as much as I can while I can, because you never know when you're going to be too old to do it, or a day comes and you can't do it at all. So I am a proponent of living life to its fullest every chance that you get. And we just tend to do that in the outdoors, hunting and fishing. And I used to do it a lot in North Dakota, and I miss doing it in that state, Doug. And I know things have changed over the years, just like they have everywhere else. But overall, how are things looking in North Dakota?
They're doing really well. And you bring up a good point. And I enjoy listening to you guys. And sometimes you guys get really, really deep, and you get really, really informational when you've been talking about some of the front facing sonar, some of the non-resident issues across other states. It's been really enlightening to me. But when you talk about, and I don't want to get, you know, too like sad about this, but when you talk about enjoying the day, enjoying the moment, I had an older deer hunter, and I'll say he was 82, 83 years old, and he hasn't been able to draw a deer tag in the last, I think it was like 5 or 6 years. And he said, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to go deer hunting again. And it really made me just stop. And I think about some of the issues that we have with whether it's youth tags or non-resident hunting. And you put that into that context and you think, so here's a guy that, and part of my heartfelt response was, you know, don't think of what you don't have. Think of all the, you know, 50 years of deer hunting, 60 years of deer hunting that you did have. But it really, as a wildlife manager and as a biologist, It makes you stop for just a second and realize when people get frustrated about maybe whether it's drawing an elk tag in another state or drawing a deer tag or preferred a buck tag in the unit that maybe they hunted all their life, in their world, if they don't draw a deer tag, they're looking like, okay, am I ever going to get to go deer hunting again? And that's one person out of literally thousands, but it makes us stop and realize how much this means to people.
Oh, yeah. You know, and you know, you look at something like that and you realize that it wasn't about, I mean, even if you don't draw a tag, being able to, if there's a deer camp you can go to and still be a part of it, that's what it comes down to a lot of times. I mean, I like eating venison, and who doesn't love shooting a big buck, but really it's that experience of being out there or being with friends or family that really makes it. And, you know, and maybe he's at a point in his life too, where his, you know, all the people that he hunted with either aren't doing it anymore or aren't around anymore. So, that's just why I don't even want to think about that stage in life, you know, and you hear about, without making it too sad on my end either, you hear about people passing away at an early age too. And it just makes you want to go out there and not wait till tomorrow, right? Not wait until I retire to do all these things or whatever. Find a way to do it now so you don't regret and get to a point in life where you can't do it anymore.
Right, and people will go. You'll get to deer camp, you'll get to hunting camp, whatever it might be, ducks, geese, and you'll look around, and there might be somebody missing this year. That was there last year, was there 5 years ago, and yeah, you do. You have to live for the day, no doubt about that. And nobody's ever going to say, oh, I wish I would have stayed at home and watched a football game. I mean, get out there and go.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what the radio's for anyway. Man, I don't know how many times, Doug, when I was working at that rock station in Fargo, and we carried the Vikings games on Sundays, and that would be my routine. I mean, I ran the station, so I kind of had to listen to it to make sure everything was going okay, but it didn't stop me from, you know, and that signal went a good hour to the west, so I could drive all over, you know, at least the eastern half of the state or eastern third of the state, and still within signal, you know, to duck hunt or walk for pheasants or sharpies or something like that. So the radio broadcast really became a big part of my hunting time in North Dakota.
Man, we'd get out and go walking for pheasants, and the Vikings would be up, you know, Tommy Kramer to Ahmad Rashad, they'd be up like 7-3, and then you go out walk, you get back in the truck, and they'd be down 21-7. But yeah, I mean, that's being a Vikings fan.
Well, that's just it. I got disappointed so many times I stopped caring. Like, whatever, right. I'm going hunting. I don't care. You know, and that, I mean, that this, without going down another story, that's why I am doing what I'm doing so much, because I was doing radio in Fargo. Doug and I, you know, working where we worked, I had to be at the Fargo Dome every other Sunday for the Bison games. And I'd be getting text messages from guys out in cornfields shooting limits of mallards while I'm handing out T-shirts to drunk kids. You know, I was like, this is not right. This is not right. Something's wrong here. No. So,
no, you're absolutely right. That's the beauty of getting outdoors. I mean, everybody wins. Nobody loses when they're getting outdoors.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I mean, that was a pivotal moment in my life. I mean, that was a big deal. For sure. So, anyway, thank
you. Look at you now. I'm the one that's listening to you, and I love it. I mean, I said that a little bit at the beginning. I love listening to your podcast because it really helps me as a biologist and working for Game and Fish understand what some of the hunters and anglers are thinking. What are big topics? Really, and quite frankly, you go back 20, 30 years ago, and you'd hear it at a wildlife club, you'd hear it at a gas station, you'd hear it at a watering hole, and you guys bring it to life. And I know I'm not alone. I know I'm speaking for other biologists and you know, fisheries and wildlife managers that have bigger, thicker glasses than I do. And they're saying the same thing. So I appreciate that you guys aren't afraid also to bring up some of those topics about non-resident hunting and about front-facing sonar.
You are wrong about one thing, Doug. You are our only listener. We have
the only one listening. You're the only one. Our advertisers are listening. Don't say that.
Yeah. No, and that's what we try to do when there's topics that come up and things that are happening out there. We either try to address it from what our knowledge contains, or we try to bring experts on that can speak to it to clarify things just a little bit. And I know there's a lot going on in North Dakota. And one of my favorite reasons. When I lived there for hunting there, it was just the ability of landowner access and the ability to go on, you know, private land that wasn't posted, especially for waterfowl hunting. You know, pheasants and deer might have been a different story, but for waterfowl hunting, you pretty much could go in a lot of areas without issue. A lot of that's changed now, and it's more important than ever to have healthy relationships with those landowners up there, isn't it?
I really appreciate you bringing that up, because I'm speaking for North Dakota, but the hunter landowner relationships, that's a South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin. That's just in general in the entire industry, in the entire hobby and legacy and heritage of hunting. And we can't stress enough. And I think one of the biggest scenarios that comes back to turning into a problem is you go out, whether it's duck hunting or goose hunting or pheasant hunting or deer hunting, and you find a spot, you have permission or it's not posted or whatever it is, and there's no activity around there. And it still happens in North Dakota. You can still find places where there's no activity, and not realizing that farmer, that rancher is going to need to get down that road, is going to need to use that approach and the equipment. If you see some of those headers and some of the combines and some of the equipment, they are absolutely, they just keep getting bigger and bigger, and the roads are still the same size. Some of the equipment that hunters are bringing, some of the enclosed trailers, some of the pickup trucks, the UTVs, all the equipment that they're bringing along, it's a little bit bigger than what it was 30 years ago. And I think you can appreciate that too, from what you've seen and what you do, that really the landscape hasn't just changed in CRP. The landscape has changed in what hunters are bringing, what farmers and ranchers are using, and something as fundamental as the size of the roads really haven't changed, but it does create. I took a call from a really frustrated landowner a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, he was seven kinds of red and hot, and the hunter had no idea by parking on that approach that he had to wait an extra 4 hours to try to move his cows. And he even told me, he said, I was about ready to put a log chain around it and just drag it out of the approach. I didn't. Oh, but again, you can understand, you know, and that hunter is never going to forget that. That landowner is never going to forget that. We remember the YouTube video last fall that blew up in central North Dakota. And we don't want that to happen again.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and we see it around here, obviously, where we live, where it's a very similar country, prairie, a lot of ag, and, you know, you'll see the combine coming down, and you know, there's a moment of, okay, can I get to an approach or another gravel before that combine meets me, or do I have to back up or turn around and get out of the way one way or another? Because a lot of times you can't get out of the way without a way of turning off that road. And I remember one year, Doug, it was one real wet year, and we were snow goose hunting. And when you talk about snow goose decoy spreads and the time of year mm-hmm. that you're doing it in North Dakota, when you got some snow, you might have a lot of mud, you might have standing water in the field. So we had, I think it was like a 30-foot trailer or something, just massive for this decoy spread. And then like a big four-wheeler on tracks and all this gear. And that was a year that there was a lot of flooding down in the southern half of the state, and there were a lot of washed out roads. And I had to drive that trailer back to Fargo, and I don't know how many roads I turned north on to try to come home, and I'd get to a washout, and I'd have to turn around that big rig and back it down one of those narrow gravel roads. And I mean, it took me a couple of hours before I finally just started driving west far enough to hit blacktop. And hit a highway.
In North Dakota. Hey, that's not that easy.
Miles.
Driving until you hit blacktop sometimes.
It was miles. I mean, I finally had to drive west. I bet I drove at least a half hour to the west and then had to go north to 94 to come home on that trip. And, you know, it wasn't my trailer or my wheeler, so I was trying to be real careful about where I drove that stuff. So it got a little western there, but... It was quite the experience. So you have to be mindful not only of your landowner relations when it comes to where you can park and where you can drive, but you have to be careful when those roads are wet. Now, granted, we haven't had to worry too much about that in the last couple of years, but when those roads are wet, you got to be real careful that you're not tearing up their roads out there too.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing is, like, we know where we're at and what you have for moisture and precipitation, but once you start putting on 4 or 5 hours, you can go someplace that's been really, really wet or really, really dry, and the next thing we're worried about is unintentionally starting a fire, especially in the fall of the year. So there's a lot of different concerns. It just comes out to being a little bit aware of where you're at and what you're doing and trying to understand what the farmers and ranchers are doing. And we also try to get the message out to the farmers too, because as you explained, it's not easy to turn a combine around, but when you have a rig set up like you might have, it's not easy for you to turn around either.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a great situation, and you just want to be aware of it so you can plan for it in case something like that happens.
Especially if it's you trying to back up a trailer.
Oh, shut up. Just fine. Doug, there's some new CWD changes in North Dakota this year, or the way hunters handle their deer when it comes to CWD.
In North Dakota, we have a CWD task force. Probably every state's got a task force, and every issue has a task force. And it's a good thing, because you're trying to take the experts in the field and you're trying to take a look at what you're doing, what other states might be doing, and how the science might be changing. And one of the changes that we made in North Dakota is in our transportation. And you can now transport your deer. Say you're in Western North Dakota, and you're in a CWD unit and you're driving back to Fargo. In past, there were restrictions on what you could be bringing out of that unit. Now, one of the biggest changes that we made in North Dakota is we want to make sure that that carcass is disposed of properly. So rather than, you know, trying to read through all the actual legal regulation and definition, what we've done is basically say, if you bring a big game, deer, moose, elk, carcass, out of a CWD unit, as long as you are disposing it in a waste disposal, proper trash bag, trash can, going to a dump ground, for lack of a better, you know, you can use your technical terms, but we call it the dump ground, the garbage ground, whatever, then you can just simply put it in the garbage bag and then it'll be disposed of that way. So it removes a little bit of the cumbersome, what can I take out, what part of the carcass must stay in the unit, what can't stay here. Again, if you're going to be hunting in North Dakota, archery deer, we do not restrict those by lottery for the whitetail in North Dakota. So if non-residents are coming, give yourself a couple of moments to read through the regulations, because there has been a little bit of change. And probably one of the things to highlight and underscore is we also now will remove the restriction on hunting big game over bait if that unit has 10% of the rifle tags tested and they are negative. So that's one thing where essentially a unit that has gone into a hunting big game over bait restriction can be removed if you have a high enough sample and they're all negative. So we would encourage hunters, non-residents as well, to please submit those samples. You can get now in North Dakota, we're sending out self-sample kits. So basically you cut the lymph nodes out, you put them in the mail, and then they'll get tested. And it's you can request that kit on the Game and Fish Department website. We'll mail the kit out for you. It's got all the instructions on what to cut, where to cut, how to put it in the bag, and put it in the mail. And that'll help out. It'll definitely help out our CWD surveillance in North Dakota.
And right now, that's right on the homepage. If you go to the Game and Fish website, North Dakota Game and Fish website, and the news releases, you'll see CWD testing during deer, bow, elk, moose seasons. If you click on that, it'll give you some info and the link to order some of those kits. Doug, it's always fun having you on the show. We need to do it more often. North Dakota Game and Fish Department, Doug Lear, appreciate the time this week.
I appreciate what you guys do. Keep up the great work. Thanks for having me on the show.
Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. F-Tech's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra-point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and F-Tech's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
Did you know there are more than 1,000 lakes in Otter Tail County?
Yep, and I'm gonna fish as many as I can. I'm an outdoorsy otter. Nothing beats a full day of fishing for me. The lakes of Otter Tail County give me plenty of options to lower my boat and snag the perfect catch. Not an outdoorsy otter? No problem. Otter Tail County has something for everyone. You just need to find your inner otter.
To find your inner otter, go to OtterTailLakesCountry.com.
Now it's time to head up to Lake of the Woods, check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, we're pretty excited. We're going to be seeing you in a couple of days. We're going to come up there, do a little bit of duck hunting, do some grouse hunting, hopefully sneak in some fishing while we're up there, Joe. The one thing we're not doing is deer hunting, but maybe we should be.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, and of course, for your listeners, the reason Brett mentioned that is because during that youth deer hunt, Eli Johnson's a 15-year-old up at Lake of the Woods School. He lives in Baudet, and he went out during the youth deer hunt, and you know, he was sitting in a stand on the edge of a bean field, soybean field, and his buddy called him and said, "Hey, man, let's go to the movies." And his buddy's name, and I wrote it down so we could talk about both of them, but he said, "Hey, let's go to the movie." Nolan Fish. He said, "Let's go to the movies." And Eli said, "You know what? I want to sit till dark. Why don't you come join me and just sit with me, even though you're not going to be hunting?" So he went and sat with him, and this buck came out. He shot this buck, and it was a monster. And he shot it, and the buck walked back in the woods. So they reached out to his dad, Jeremiah Johnson, and they ended up looking for that deer, and they couldn't find it. They couldn't find it. The sun had gone down. It was started to rain out. They had hardly any blood, so they didn't know what they were going to do. And finally, they said, "Hey, you know what? Let's just go look one more time." And they looked, and all of a sudden, Eli found his deer. Now, get this: it was a big buck. It was 279.5 pounds, and the rack had a green score of 169.3 ace.
Nice.
That is a big deer. Now, you know a deer is big when they didn't have anything. Everything was closed, so they couldn't go weigh it that night. And of course, that's dressed, by the way. 279.5 pounds dressed. So the next morning, his dad went and bought a scale, and they were going to weigh it in the garage. So they were winching it up on the in the garage, the darn rafter broke. So they knew it was a big deer. So then they took the deer into Woods Goods, sporting goods store over near War Road, and they weighed that thing, and 279.5. In fact, the gentleman who weighed it over there, they got a big buck contest every year over at that Woods Goods. And the guy that weighed it, he said, "Hey, listen, I have never seen a deer this big come through." Now, unfortunately, Eli didn't have, he had not entered the buck contest. Otherwise, I'm sure he would have won for sure. But what a story, hey?
Yeah, that is cool. That's a heavy rack on that deer too. That's pretty neat. How old was he?
He's 15 years old, and his buddy, is 16. Yep. But it was funny. It's cool is that, you know, he said, "No, man, I don't want to go to the movies tonight, man. It's a youth deer hunt. It's only 4 days. I'm going to sit." And so his buddy came out and joined him. And although he wasn't hunting, didn't have a gun or anything, he just sat in the stand with an open air stand, you know, in a tree. And I think that's so neat. Those guys have made a memory they'll never, ever forget.
Yeah. And I think the weather was probably pretty good for it. I know a lot of people went deer hunting here in the last this last week as the weather finally started to get colder. The rut's going to start kicking in. We've seen some more buck activity on cameras and seeing some more movement a lot down here anyway. A lot of the crops are coming out, so animals are going to start getting moved. We probably should be deer hunting, Dan, this weekend instead of going up and hunting out of layout boats. But
have at her, man. I'll go duck hunting. Fun. That's a personal choice you can make, and I know my personal choice.
I did see that those guys, the guys that are going duck hunting with up there at the Northwest Angle on those layout boats, I did notice that I think Andy had posted that they're actually getting some sea ducks too.
Yeah. Yep. They shot some scoters up there. So in Forrest, I talked to Forrest a little bit. I actually pheasant hunted with him the other day, and he said that there's some sea ducks. There has been a little group of sea ducks hanging around up there. I think they're white-wing scoters, and they're obviously shooting a lot of buffs, and then they're seeing some bluebills and some other divers up there too. I think golden eyes. So, it's just fun. Like the idea, you know, buffs, there it is right there. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the video right now from Reeves Fins and Feathers on the Facebook. You know, some people want to shoot more than just buffs, but the idea to me, I mean, the species of duck doesn't matter as much. The experience is what this is all about up at Lake of the Woods at the Northwest Angle, and hunting out of layout boats and having that opportunity to do it here in Minnesota is pretty neat. Although, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to pass up a crack at a sea duck. We had to go to Kodiak Island to do it last time. So if we can do it at the Northwest Angle, I'll be pretty happy.
Well, it's just so unique. I mean, you know, when you guys, you know, if your listeners have not seen that video, that show you put together about doing the layout boat hunting up at Lake of the Woods. First of all, layout boat hunting, you can only do it on a few lakes in Minnesota. So that's very unique. To have an outfitter that offers layout boat hunting is very unique. And then what I thought was so cool is, you know, when you were filming that, it was like you were there with you, where you are laying back in a very comfortable, very stable boat, but you're laying back and you're almost, you know, hidden with the surface of the water. You're kind of one with the water, and you get the waves kind of lapping against your boat. You got all your decoys out in front. Then you got these birds flying right across the water to you. I mean, it just looks so cool.
It's a completely unique experience for guys like us that have, you know, duck hunted our whole lives pretty much, but never. It's like being on in a layout blind on a waterbed, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how else to describe it. If you've hunted in a dry field in a layout blind, you're laying down, but you're moving the whole time, and that throws a whole nother element into your shooting. You have to take waves into account, not just because sometimes these ducks are whizzing across so close to the surface of the water that they disappear behind the waves once in a while, but you're moving up and down as well. If it's windy at all. So you have to take that into account when you're leading your bird and you're shooting at it. And there it is. You can watch that episode on at prairiesportsman.org of us layout boat hunting up there last year, or on the YouTube. Search for Prairie Sportsman, and Edge of Water Thrills is the name of the episode right there. So we're looking forward to doing that. And then we're going to walk some of the hunter walking trails for grouse while we're up there, Joe. And I'm hoping it's hard not to go to Lake of the Woods. It's hard to go to Lake of the Woods and not fish while you're up there. So I'm hoping we sneak some fishing in. Otherwise, we're going to start looking towards a winter trip up there, Joe.
Yeah, well, and you know, I'll tell you, hopefully we'll get some walleye fishing in. The walleyes are biting good right now. I mean, we got, you know, we got a lot of shiners that have been entering the river. The walleyes are entering the river more and more every day. So that's getting better and better. And then, of course, we got a pile of fish that are across the whole South Shore. Now, some of those walleyes aren't coming in the river hot and heavy because they got so much food out front. So when you get out of the, when you go out of the Rainy River, that's the lighthouse gap where it enters Lake of the Woods. And man, out in front in about 26 feet of water, give or take a couple of feet each day maybe, but those fish move around. But in about 26 feet of water, out in front of, you know, Pine Island, out in front of Morris Point Gap, Zippel Bay, Long Point, there's different schools of fish, and people have been whacking them. I mean, getting out there, you anchor up, you jig over the side of the boat with, you know, a good Lake of the Woods colored jig, you know, the golds, the glow whites, the pinks, the oranges, chartreuse, or a combo thereof. And then you put on there an emerald shiner or a rainbow or a fathead and have at her. And you catch a lot of fish, catch all sizes. It's just really an enjoyable experience. Yeah, you anchor up, you're jigging over the side of the boat. What is more fun than jigging for walleyes right over the side of the boat?
Nothing.
I mean, it is cool. It is cool. Just the memories I've had on that, just doing that. Right now is prime time. We know they're catching fish. We know there's a pile of fish out there. You know, I know a lot of people are thinking hunting. I know it's getting a little chillier out, but boy, I'll tell you what, if you want to dress warm and get out and catch some good walleyes, man, that opportunity exists. As we get into deer hunting, there's going to be hardly anybody up there. I mean, there'll be some people, but you know, you want to have the place to yourself. You got her, you know, and a lot of lodgings available too.
You ever hear of people catching like burbot in the river in the fall at all?
Once in a while. Once in a while, yeah. And we certainly catch them in the river. And once in a while, we'll catch one. But you know, you bring up a good point. You know, burbot. I mean, there's so many names for burbot. People, eel pout, lawyer, poor man's lobster. Mm-hmm.
Mariah.
A freshwater cod. I mean, you know, just there's so many names for it. Here's what's interesting about eel pout. First off, eel pout don't live in every lake. Lake of the Woods has a huge population. We've actually had the last couple of state record eel pout. I think the last one was about 19 and a half pounds. And what's really cool is that when you get an eel pout, you can actually take the back straps off that eel pout, and then you take both sections of tail meat, and you can, you know, cut that in small pieces. What a lot of people will do, and you can fry that, you can broil it, whatever. It tastes good. It's good meat. If you take that and boil it in either 7-Up or salt water and then dip it in melted butter, that's where that term poor man's lobster comes in, is that it's got the consistency that the meat does, a little bit more like lobster, and it's a very good tasting fish, hence freshwater cod. In fact, I had heard a story, and I can't verify the truth, but I'd heard that, you know, for the longest time, people would catch eel pout back in the day and they'd throw them out on the ice, which you're not supposed to do. Technically, it's littering. And then eagles and ravens would eat them. Well, then the word got out, you know, they're pretty darn good. So people now, they love to catch them and they love eating them. But I'd heard that red lobster had them on their menu. People were commercial, you know, netting them. Mm. And they called them freshwater cod. Now, that's not recent. That's a number of years ago. But the point it is, word got out that, hey, these are, they might look ugly. You don't think they're worth anything. And all of a sudden you realize, hey, these are pretty darn good. So now when people come up, I have so many people saying to me, man, I want to get my walleyes and saugers, but God, I hope we get a couple of eel pout for an appetizer.
Yeah, I don't think they're ugly at all. I think they're pretty neat looking. I think they fight hard. They're fun to catch. And remember, Dan, that one day, the second day of the tournament last spring in April, our SJR 500 tournament on the Rainy River, we caught an eel pout in our boat. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, well, that's weird. And then we came into the lodge there, and I don't know, there's like 20 different boats that caught eel pout that day.
Yeah, well, most of them were fishing for a sturgeon, weren't they? Just kind of bottom fishing?
I think because I think the one that I caught was pretty small, and I caught it on that heavy Cass King rod, and didn't really feel much there, but it'd be fun to catch some big ones in the river.
Oh, there. Well, and I'll tell you, you know, here's a funny thing, though. You know, when you're walleye fish on Lake of the Woods, you know, the old thing, you never know what you're going to get in Lake of the Woods, and you always got a chance at a monster walleye. Well, you set the hook at an eel pout, and you pull it up, and it feels pretty good. Makes a couple runs, and, you know, they fight. Sometimes they'll fight like walleyes. Now, if they fight like the old eel pout is supposed to, you get more of the thumping because they're kind of spinning on you. But every once in a while, they can fool you. And I'll tell you, many a walleye angler has been fooled by an eel pout until they get into the hole.
Well, I'll look forward to catching some through the ice and maybe that rare open water eel pout as well, too. But in the meantime, we'll see you here in a couple of days, Joe, to do some grouse hunting up there at Lake of the Woods. And if people want to come up for a fall trip or get that winter trip planned, what should they do?
Hey, our website has a big, big resource of information. Check that out. And that is Lake of the Woods, MN.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you've got a question, comment, or story idea for us, send us an email. Go to sportingjournalradio.com. While you're there, you can learn how to advertise on the show and visit our store for hats, hoodies, coffee mugs, and more. Go to sportingjournalradio.com.